This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In, here on Intelligent Medicine. Thank you for joining me every week. Thank you for downloading these podcasts and all the other podcasts on Intelligent Medicine. We appreciate your listening, and I invite you to send any questions or any topics of interest that you'd like to hear me discuss here on Layla Weighs In. Email me to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. Summer always goes too quickly for me, and for those of you who love summer like I do, I'm sure it's going quickly for you too. Trying to savor every moment on my days off. I want to talk to you today, a couple of headlines here. Inflammatory dietary pattern linked to brain aging. Okay, this came out in July. Researchers believe they've uncovered a piece of the puzzle in the connection between diet and dementia. You and I know that, right? That there is an absolute connection between diet and dementia, and that Alzheimer's disease, if we're talking about that form of dementia, is actually called type 3 diabetes. So, researchers linked a specific dietary pattern to blood markers of inflammation. In addition, they showed that in elderly adults who followed such a dietary pattern, brain gray matter volume was less, and they had worse visuospatial cognitive function. Quote, we found that people who consume less omega-3 fatty acids, less calcium, less vitamin E and vitamin D, and vitamin B5 and B2 have more inflammatory biomarkers. The study investigator from Columbia University and the Taub Institute for Research on Alzheimer's Disease and the Aging Brain in New York City. An inflammatory dietary pattern, said the researcher, is bad for both the brain and cognition. This study was presented at the Alzheimer's Association International Conference this year. So, dietary factors, so this study is suggesting that dietary factors such as fish, nuts, omega-3 fatty acids, and folate, as well as Mediterranean-type diets, are associated with a lower risk for Alzheimer's disease and better brain health in the elderly. Other evidence, they say, shows that many foods and nutrients modulate inflammatory processes. Other studies have linked chronic inflammation to an increased risk for Alzheimer's disease. You all know that chronic inflammation is the precursor to so many of our chronic diseases, like dementia, Alzheimer's, obesity, diabetes, cancer, all of these. So inflammation is the beginning, is the precursor for all of that. This group of scientists previously showed an association between increased C-reactive protein and interleukin 6 levels and worse cognition and smaller brain volumes. This is C-reactive protein, you know, is a marker of inflammation, which is a little bit different from high sensitivity C-reactive protein. That's HS C-reactive protein, which is really a marker of inflammation in the arteries, endothelial dysfunction. So regular old C-reactive protein is a marker of all types of inflammation, and interleukin 6. There are many interleukins. Interleukin 6 is an inflammatory marker. But none of this research addressed whether diet affects brain and cognitive health by modulating inflammation. They say no study has formally tested whether the relationship of diet with cognition or with the brain is actually because of inflammation. You know, this is always a very important question in science. Not everything is cause and effect. And how do we know that inflammation is the cause of smaller brain volume, less cognition, all of that? What if inflammation is simply along for the ride, but not necessarily the cause of? So it's always a very interesting question. And it's very important, of course, for scientists to be exacting about their conclusions. So this new crossover study, cross-sectional study, included 330 elderly adults from the Washington Heights Inwood Community Aging Project Imaging Study. In these participants, researchers carried out structural MRI scans and measured levels of the inflammatory biomarkers CRP, C-reactive protein, and IL-6. Interleukin 6. Study participants completed a 61-item food frequency questionnaire that asked about nutrient intake during the past year. And from this information, the researchers used a statistical model to create the INP, the inflammation-related nutrient pattern. So INP is the acronym for inflammation-related nutrient pattern. The INP is basically a linear combination of 24 nutrients, say the scientists, each with a different weight on the INP. For example, omega-3 is negatively loaded, which is similar to correlated on this pattern. Lower consumption of omega-3 fatty acids will contribute to a higher inflammation-related nutrient pattern, right? Because we know that omega-3 is lower inflammation. So a lower consumption of omega-3 equals a higher INP. Study participants also underwent neuropsychological testing that assessed memory, language, executive speed, visio-spatial function. And from these test scores, the researchers calculated a composite mean cognition score for each participant. And the study showed that the inflammation-related nutrient pattern, the INP, was positively correlated with C-reactive protein levels and interleukin-6 levels. Those with fewer years of education had a relatively high INP. The INP was higher for African Americans and Hispanics compared to whites. The analysis uncovered a significant association between INP and visio-spatial function and total gray matter volume. After adjusting for possible confounders such as age, sex, race, ethnicity, APOE4 status. If you have APOE4, you might have a greater propensity to develop dementia and Alzheimer's. Also adjusted for calorie intake, body mass index, vascular comorbidities, vascular illnesses, problems. And the researchers determined that having a smaller brain gray matter volume might help explain why Those who consume more inflammatory nutrients have worse visuospatial cognition. The study's important because, quote, now you have a linkage to measurable biological differences. If your cognition is poor, we know something has to be going on. But it's sort of a black box. It's not clear what's going on, though now you can measure the level of these proteins in the body. So these new findings suggest that interventions that decrease inflammatory markers may be helpful. It gives us some ideas of what pathways might be involved. So once that is known, it may be possible to intervene, not just through a healthier diet, but perhaps also with medications. At least there may be some targets to work with. Okay, so it's possible that the study's observations, however, are not directly linked to diet. They could be due to the socioeconomic context of those diets that reflect a lifelong exposure to either poor or better health, which could in turn affect brain volume and cognition. Remember, they did a food frequency questionnaire, which, you know, is very subjective because you were given a questionnaire to fill out to say, what was your intake of these particular foods or beverages or these particular nutrients? And they'll give you examples of the particular foods over the last year. And this, remember, is given to an elderly population. What are the chances that, A, their recall will be biased to give the right answer? Because, you know, any study participant wants to give the, quote, right answer because they think it's a true test of their behavior and they want a good score, right? And B, what are the chances? Remember, this is an elderly population, that not only will their recall be biased, but it won't necessarily be helpful because they're not going to be able to recall everything they've eaten, or they're going to say, oh, I remember eating this way, but it might not have been over the last year. It may have just been over 15 months ago and not over the last year. You know, everybody has there's recall bias. There's also recall with wanting to provide the right answer. And there's also, how good is your memory? Are you going to remember what you ate over the last year? So that's why food frequency questionnaires are not the best of that. Now, so the nutrients they mentioned here, omega-3s, calcium, vitamin E, vitamin D, vitamins B5, B2, that's pantothenic acid, and riboflavin, right? Let's talk more about nutrients. Minerals, zinc, silver, copper as anti-inflammatory agents and antibiotic alternatives. This is in today's practitioner. This is all about liver health, zinc, and liver disease. So this is really directed more towards practitioners. And the question is asked, have you tested your patients at risk for liver disease for serum zinc? Because new research demonstrates that zinc naturally inhibits the inflammatory and antiviral effects of interferon lambda-3, IFN-3, lambda-3, a protein strongly associated with tissue damage in chronic liver disease. The study from Westmead Institute Storr Liver Center, in collaboration with the Center for Virus Research and Kirby Institute, shows that serum zinc may benefit liver disease in ways researchers never expected. The study demonstrated that zinc naturally inhibits the inflammatory and antiviral effects of interferon lambda 3, IFN lambda 3, a protein strongly associated with tissue damage in chronic liver disease. Lead author in the study, Dr. Reed, said the study provides the first evidence that zinc can act as a potent and specific inhibitor of IFN lambda 3 in the context of viral infections such as hepatitis C and the flu. The key findings include zinc inhibits numerous facets of the liver's immune response to viruses that may be mediated by this specific protein. Zinc interferes with IFN 3 binding to the interferon lambda receptor, which results in decreased antiviral activity and increased viral replication, both in vitro and in vivo. In vitro meaning in the lab, and in vivo meaning in the human body, in human studies. Zinc also blocks the inflammatory activity of IFN 3, which has strongly been linked to accelerated progression to liver cirrhosis in viral and non-viral liver disease. Fascinating. Critical mineral, zinc. Our data suggests that serum zinc levels in patients with chronic hepatitis C are genetically predetermined by the IFN lambda 3 polymorphism, confirming the inhibitory role of zinc in vivo in the human body. So the data highlights the potential for zinc to be used as a simple and effective treatment against acute and chronic inflammation in the liver. Associate professors and their teams are now working toward a therapeutic intervention for IFN3-mediated chronic disease. This research was published in Nature Communications. Metals and minerals as antibiotic alternatives. Listen to this. As antibiotic resistance presents arising health problems, researchers are exploring alternatives to antibiotics. I'll tell you, I had a patient recently who went to her doctor insisting on an antibiotic because she felt like she was getting a sinus infection, and of course the doctor relented. Too bad, because doctors are now being taught to prescribe antibiotics less and less because of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. So, two such examples of minerals and metals being proposed as alternatives to antibiotics. Two such examples are metals such as silver, zinc, copper, and organic acids such as food acid, commonly used as food preservatives. The research published in Nature Scientific Reports showed that when organic acids and metals were combined at a low concentration, this combination was extremely effective in eradicating pathogenic bacteria such as Chlorella, Salmonella, and Pseudomonas, as well as eliminating bacteria that attack agricultural crops such as tomato, melon, and apples. So, quote, combining these two types of substances is far more effective than using each one separately. So there's a synergistic effect going on. They call it synergistic inhibition. This combination enables the use of extremely low concentrations of metals and food acids for preserving food and spraying crops. The scientists added that lowering the concentration of the substances has significant positive implications for the environment and human health. Very, very important. So these combinations, silver, zinc, copper, and organic acids such as food acids, commonly used as preservatives, such as I imagine ascorbic acid is one that I can think of. So very, very important information, and especially since antibiotic-resistant bacteria is growing ever more, and there needs to be, you know, we need to find a solution. The medical community needs to find a solution. And using these particular metals, minerals, and food acids may be one way, as well as prescribing less and less antibiotics. So, anyway, very interesting information here. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.